Welcome to the Meditation Conversation. You are listening to Cara and Alessandra. So in this episode, we are talking about consciousness. And according to the yogis and the yogic traditions, it has been suggested for centuries that consciousness is our very essence, the essence of everything, and something science starts to back up and show as well. And I want to read a quote from Max Planck, which is considered the father of quantum physics. And this is what he said. After my research into the atom, I can tell you this. Strictly speaking, there is no matter. I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. Everything that we regard as existing postulates consciousness.
Right, so this is a really interesting topic, and in the yogic tradition that Alessandra and I follow, where our meditation practices are based from, there are three levels of consciousness that are dealt with. And those three levels are the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. So we're probably all pretty familiar with the subconscious and the superconsciousness, the subconscious and the consciousness, and the superconsciousness may be something that is new. So we'll explore each three of those in this episode. And each level of consciousness represents a differing degree of intensity of awareness. So it's where we're putting our awareness at any given time. And we can have we always have one or more of these levels of consciousness happening at any given time, depending on where we're putting our attention. So let's start with consciousness. That seems to be a pretty easy one that we are probably all at least somewhat familiar with. This is the state of consciousness that we're most used to. It's where we are typically living in our waking moments. It's where we do our sensory processing, our thinking, our intention, our planning. The conscious state is detail-oriented, and it's inclined toward analysis. We are doing a lot of analysis in the conscious state. And it tends to be problem consciousness, where we're focused on the problem rather than the solution. It's the part of the mind we're most aware of, and it's something that we're trying to go beyond in our meditations. So something that if you've ever studied or practiced mindfulness training, a lot of mindfulness practices are trying to get you in tune with this conscious state. And I find that a helpful place to start when I'm meditating. It's just connecting myself to this moment and connecting myself to my breath, but really thinking about where I am in the moment. One of the downsides of continuing a meditation practice is that you leave the beginner's mind after a while and things start to become habit from your techniques. And that means that you might have a tendency to start doing a lot of things in the background and letting your consciousness get away from you. At least I've had this experience. So sometimes I have to make that intention in the beginning to really tune into my conscious mind, even though with meditation I'm trying to go beyond that ultimately through my techniques. So a lot of times I just start with, okay, let me feel my breath. Let me notice this moment and really tune in to where I am so that I can go beyond that. It's just a tool to help us get still and get us prepared to try to reach higher levels of awareness.
Yes, and Cara was just speaking here about habit and how we easily slip into habit. And this is our subconscious mind, which holds all our habits, our memories, and also the feelings attached to those memories or habits. So whether we felt happy during that experience, or whether we felt sad, or perhaps scared. And the subconscious mind is a huge part of our consciousness. You might have seen the image somewhere where they use the metaphor of an iceberg. So you have the little tip of ice above the surface, which is our conscious mind. But then beneath the surface, you have this huge iceberg, which is much bigger than the little piece of ice above the surface. And this is our subconscious mind. And it's important to understand this, because if we know that we have our habits, and it's also where we have our likes, our dislikes, our fears and our desires. So if we are on a journey where we want to change ourselves, it's not enough to just be conscious. And for example, when you start meditating, you might be having a really good flow when you get the habit there. But then, perhaps after a few weeks, you might have a habit of being lazy, or you get sleepy. And so it's really hard to get that change flowing, because we cannot underestimate the subconscious mind and its power it has on us. So I really find it helpful to have that image of that iceberg to remind ourselves when we fall, when we slip, because we will slip, whether it's in meditation or any form of personal development. You wanted to say something.
No, it was it's a great analogy for how this the subconscious works, I think, with that iceberg, mm-hmm. because there's so much under there that is makes up who we are that we take for granted.
And this is where our dreams come, mostly from the subconscious. Can come from the superconscious. Cara will talk about this in a little bit. And when we are in our subconscious state of mind, usually when we sleep, we go in there, as I said, mostly. But in our waking state, when we feel a bit unfocused or dreamy, when we drift away, that's usually a sign that you are slipping into your subconscious mind. And our personality comes a lot from the subconscious mind, because every experience, the conscious mind, we have talked about this a little bit earlier in previous episodes, how our experiences shape us. So it's our conscious mind that feeds the subconscious mind. You had this experience. Oh, you met a snake. The snake bit you. That was unpleasant. Now you're going to be afraid of snakes, etc. But sometimes it happens. I met a cute little rabbit and I have this terrible fear of rabbits, which is not really rational. So sometimes we have personality traits or patterns which are not really serving. And this is where meditation really helps. We have mentioned earlier, there's a book called Altered Traits, and Richard Davidson, who is a scientist who wrote the book, and he does studies on meditation and mindfulness practices all the time. And I saw an interview with him where he said that the beauty of meditation, you might not think it's a beauty, but a very interesting thing about it is that it teaches you to see your own pattern. So suddenly you can become aware of some way of behaving, which you didn't know about before. And when we know that, then we can feed our subconscious mind with the antidote and start working on changing our behavior, changing our personality into something that is more serving.
Right. And so the subconscious has a big hold on us, and it's nice to know that we can use meditation to help us work through the subconscious mind. And the way that we do that is by accessing the superconscious state. So again, this is not necessarily a state that we're usually in touch with in our everyday life, from what we're aware of anyway. It's the yogis talk about the superconsciousness as a state of intuition and heightened mental clarity that flows from this awareness. So it's something that meditators are trying to access. Deep meditators are very serious meditators are trying to penetrate more and more into the superconscious state to enter something called samadhi, which is a state of oneness with all creation, with everything that is. And that's something that great yogic masters have talked about. And also many masters from other traditions, they've used other words for it, but they've been able to access this higher state where there's this feeling of union and bliss and that is part of our superconscious mind. So when we feel that we understand something intuitively, or we have that gut feeling that we really absolutely feel that we know something and we don't really know where that's coming from, that's coming from that super consciousness. Another way to think of it is accessing our higher self. So that more eternal part of ourself, that part of ourself that has awareness of much more, you know, we talk about the subconscious that has all of our past, basically all of our, you know, it is holding all of our past, all of our feelings about the past, and shapes us in that way. The superconsciousness goes even beyond that because it has this viewpoint of things even beyond ourselves. So even beyond our own past, even beyond our own sense of being. And it's where we have this sense of connection as well. So when we're living in the subconscious state, and in our conscious state, we feel this sense of separateness. I understand that I am a separate being from Alessandra, and these are the ways that we're different. And not necessarily just Alessandra, but as an example. But in the superconsciousness, there's this understanding that we are all connected and we are all the same consciousness, and we're connected not only with other humans, but with all living things. And it's a very beautiful way to be able to experience that expression. And we also, sometimes you may even experience dreams that are so lucid, but you're in the dreaming state, but they're super conscious dreams. So sometimes we can access that through our dreaming states and get things as warnings or as suggestions in that state. And that's, it can be difficult to be able to dissect whether one is, when a dream like that is coming from the superconsciousness or the subconsciousness. I actually, as it happens, had a really beautiful dream this morning before I woke up about a person that Alessandra and I both know, who we were just talking about before we started, named Joni. I had a dream that we were flying together in this contraption and kind of looking all through this room, and it was really peaceful and fun. And it just felt so, I felt so much more connected to Joni through that dream. It's somebody who I don't really even know that well, but it can sometimes be difficult to parse. Okay, was that my super consciousness or was that my subconscious? But it's all of this is experiential and experimental, and so it's fun.
Yeah, I just want to add on that, because it's also when we are awake, and sometimes we, to go back to the subconscious mind and the power of it, sometimes we might think that we made a decision based on intuition because we felt so sure about it, but in fact it was the subconscious mind manipulating its way through to, because the subconscious mind doesn't want us, it just wants to keep us safe and to stay on the familiar path. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of pros. For example, when you learn meditation and learn to drive, learn to ride a bike, you can't be conscious about all those things. You need the subconscious mind to run things automatically for you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as you said, we're going to have to be watchful and ask ourselves, was that really a super conscious message, or that decision, was it maybe not super conscious, but was it a higher awareness that helped me? Right. Was I making that decision for my highest self? Or yes. Was it just a subconscious flow directing me in the same direction that I'm always flowing?
Right. That's a great point. Yeah, so it can enter, you know, into our consciousness as well. And that happened with me actually once when we were preparing for this podcast. I was thinking about one time years ago, I was newly out of college and I was working as a computer programmer. So this was like my first job out of college. It was nearly 20 years ago now. And I remember I was looking at this code and I just wanted to figure out this one problem. I wanted to come up with this solution for this one problem. And then I was going to go take a break. And I couldn't figure it out. And this time kept passing and passing. And I kept thinking, I really want to take this break. I really want to go, whatever I was going to do, get a drink or whatever. And I kept, you know, that was going to be my little reward for figuring out this problem that I thought was kind of small. And I couldn't see it. I couldn't see the solution. And finally, I just said, you know what? I need to take a break. And I was kind of disappointed with myself when I stood up that I hadn't accomplished what I had wanted to before I took that break. And I was walking down this hall and suddenly I could see the code in my mind and I could see where the problem was. So the solution came to me once I got out of my problem consciousness, my focusing on the problem. I stepped away and I wasn't a meditator at the time. So this wasn't something that I went and meditated. But I do believe that I was tapping into my super consciousness, or that the solution came from my super consciousness, because it was like I stood up, I took a little walk, took a few steps, and I gave myself that space, and it allowed the solution to flow. And so it was an interesting lesson. I remember even talking to my manager about that and saying, okay, I had a little lesson from that, because I needed to honor that break. I needed to give my consciousness a rest and let that energy flow, let that solution get a chance to appear.
Mm. And I think this is much more easy for anyone to relate to, because not many of us might be able to relate to samadhi or this heightened sense of awareness, especially if you haven't meditated or if you're really not into that kind of things. But even just working in everyday life, I see such a huge difference, because during the day I work as a design attorney when I don't do meditation projects. And some days I go up not meditating and I just feel like the day goes by and I'm not getting much done, not so many creative ideas. On the other hand, a day when I do get up and meditate and get a proper time of focusing my brain to the right part of the brain, I just feel like the flow of the day is fantastic, and sometimes just have all these creative ideas coming to you. And it's not really super magic. It's just that you are more open to receive the ideas, or when you meet someone, you are more open to listen to them and you share ideas and good mm-hmm. things happen. And so there are a few ways for us to expand our consciousness, because after all, this is the whole purpose of yoga and meditation practice, to expand our consciousness. And so there are three stages of meditation as we teach it. It is first to relax and then to concentrate. And then there's a third stage, which is called expansion phase. And this is where we just sit in the silence. You can go back and try one of our meditations to get a sense of it. And you want to stay in this state, this third stage, as long as possible, because this is when you can expand your consciousness. Consider you are actually meditating and are relaxed. If you are sitting there in silence, just thinking of your to-do list, then you can just go off and work instead. So you need to be in that relaxed state of mind.
Concentrate in the prefrontal cortex, going back to the brain episode that we had a couple of episodes ago, but focusing that concentration in the forehead at the point between the eyebrows, and not looking literally to the point between the eyebrows with tension, but off into the distance to stimulate that part of your brain that can help with your concentration to enter into the superconscious state or try to awaken it.
Yeah. And another way is to practice introspection. You can do it just mentally with yourself. You could do it every night, or perhaps even keep a journal. I want to be better at this, but when I do it, I feel it's very helpful, because you get to see a little bit of your own patterns, your consciousness, and you can look back, because sometimes it's very hard to see ourselves objectively from the moment. We can't really see our own patterns so clearly. So that's why writing it down can be very helpful. You can see that, I see a clue here. I see a pattern. And then we can learn, and from there on use meditation or affirmations, for example, to change that consciousness.
We're using the three levels of consciousness when we do affirmations. So there are affirmations are statements that we use that are true statements, but maybe are something that we're aspiring to. So true statements in that they are true about our higher nature, but we may not be expressing them as well in our conscious and subconscious states. So for instance, we may be feeling anxiety, and we know that our true nature is one of calmness, of peace. That's our inherent nature in our superconsciousness, but we're not expressing that very well in our conscious state and our subconscious state. So you can find an affirmation that emphasizes the calmness and the peacefulness, and you start by saying this affirmation out loud in a loud voice, and then you bring it down a little bit lower in volume, and you're repeating this affirmation. And when you start and you're saying it loudly, you're engaging with your conscious mind. As you bring it down, and you even start to internalize the affirmation, and you're repeating it silently to yourself, that's bringing it into your subconscious mind. And then you lift it up into the point between the eyebrows, and you bring your focus concentration to the point between the eyebrows while you're mentally chanting this affirmation, and that brings it into the superconsciousness. So affirmations allow you to transcend and change, but through using all three levels of consciousness. So it's a really powerful tool.
Yes, and just to wrap it up, we thought we might share a metaphor which might be helpful. So imagine yourself being in a square full of a lot of people. You're in a city which you don't really know well, and you're lost. So sometimes this happens. It happens many times during a lifetime, usually, that we feel lost and we don't really know which direction to take, because we might just have been running in the same circles of our subconscious patterns. So imagine someone sends you a ladder, or you see a bench which you can climb up on. which gives you a little bit of height so you can see which way to go. But then imagine, and that would then be the conscious mind to give you a bit of clarity and awareness of the situation and where to go next. But then imagine you see a tower next to the square, which you can enter and climb. And it's a very high tower, which helps you to overlook the whole city. And from there, which would represent the superconscious mind, or which is connected to our prefrontal lobe, you can see the whole city. So you can see exactly where to go from the square to where you need to go. And it just gives you this overview of the situation. And then you can go down and walk to your destination.
Beautiful. Very nice. Well, we hope that you learned a little bit of about the different levels of consciousness. And now we encourage you to go meditate and reach for the superconscious mind. And we thank you for joining us. And we look forward to the next meditation conversation.